large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches. He spoke to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what was lain hidden from the foundation of the world." Then, dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus gives us an extraordinary sermon in 3 parables, which is his preferred way of preaching. All 3 parables compare and contrast how the kingdom of God, that is God's way of ordering things, coexists alongside things that are opposed to it. He shows how the development of God's kingdom is oftentimes gradual and slow, often accompanied by struggle with those things that are opposed to it. Now, this is a hard thing for many religiously minded people for us to wrap our heads around. After all, God can do whatever he wants. So why does God's wonderful, perfect kingdom have to struggle so much against opposing forces? Why doesn't God just get on with it and make it happen now? Well, let's dive right into Jesus' words and see what we can find. First, Jesus tells us about a man who had sowed his good seed in his field, but then an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. The two of them begin to grow together side by side. The man's servants want to help, and they say, "Well, let us pull up the weeds for you." And he responds, "No, no, if you pull up the weeds now, you might uproot the wheat along with it. Let them grow together, and we will separate them at harvest time." What he's advocating is, of course, patience, our favorite word. It's describing something very fundamental in our spiritual lives, something that we face all the time, namely that the good in our fallen world almost everywhere is entwined with evil going on around it. We see it in our society, we see it in politics, and even in our own hearts. Good and evil are often intermingled. And so the question is, what do you do? What do you do when you find the wheat, the good stuff, is growing alongside these weeds, the bad stuff? Well, the temptation is, of course, to rip them out. This reaction can be sometimes dangerous. Think of, for instance, a tumor that's wrapped itself around some vital organ, a real example, by the way. The cancerous cells have intertwined with the good, and if the surgeon's not careful, if he's impatient, he'll kill the patient trying to make her better. St. Thomas Aquinas said that there would be no virtue of the martyr without the cruelty of the tyrant. God is always, always able to bring incredible good of what seems like insurmountable evil. See that first and foremost in the cross. Also, in the face of the evil of Nazi Germany, there came incredible faith and inspiring martyrdom of St. Edith Stein, St. Maximilian Kolbe, and many others. Read about their stories if you don't know them. Absolutely inspiring. These great saints, just 75 years ago, not that long, proved that evil cannot overcome good, even when that evil tries to suppress it and even kill it. The harvest of the judgment will come, and the evil will receive justice. But judgment belongs to Christ, not to you, not to me. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Now, if it helps you, remember this. God did not say that vengeance is bad. He said, vengeance is mine. The righteous are patient. The righteous allow God to be God, and his timing is always perfect. That takes us to the famous parable of the mustard seed. If you've ever grown anything, it's amazing to think that something so huge and different can come from something so tiny as a seed. God wants even the best thing ever, his kingdom, to start small and to grow over time. That's the way it was with the church herself, that small, tiny band of apostles and disciples, which grew and grew into what we have today. Again, we're tempted to say, well, you're God. Why start small? Get on with it. Just do it already. Why mess around with these tiny little mustard seeds in these long periods of growth? Why does God work this way? Because as we can see from the Bible, God delights in our cooperation. Sure, God can do whatever he wants. He could do it all for us, which is probably what we're asking. We just want it to be done already for ourselves. But God rejoices in involving us, you and me, our freedom, our intellect, our creativity, in what he is doing. So he plants the seeds, and he invites us to cultivate them. Does it take time? Yep. Does it mean that things begin small and have to grow? Yep. You might not get to see it. When something, though, starts small, it can fly under the radar and gather strength until it's ready and strong enough to really take off. St. John Vianney wasn't considered very bright. He had a hard time getting ordained a priest. There's one priest who believed in him, though, and helped him, and he was finally ordained. Then in 1818, he was sent to be pastor of a tiny town of just over 200 people called Ars. Well, they thought, well, he can't mess that up, can he? Hardly anyone there went to Mass anymore. This is the aftermath of the French Revolution. The day he arrived, he rang the church bell for Mass, and just a few curious people came, and they only came to see who it was, who the new guy was. But St. John Vianney had a weapon that the devil couldn't beat. He loved his people. And he possessed a singular gift of psychological insight and counsel. They found out he wasn't unintelligent at all. He just didn't test well, apparently. So he set out to convert by prayer, by penance, and a life of holiness. And he started with himself. You can't give what you don't have. If you don't have patience, if you don't have holiness, how can you give it away? So with him, it started very slowly, and it was hard, sometimes heart-wrenching work. But by 1855, the number of pilgrims coming to Ars every year was over 20,000. His funeral was attended by more than 6,000 people. It's only because a train didn't go there. You had to go by buggy and a horse and had 300 priests there. But why did God make it take so long? Why 37 years? It can be summed up, I think, in a quote from the saint himself. And he said this: "If on my arrival in Ars, I had foreseen what I was to suffer there, I would have died on the spot." Time, it was time that allowed St. John to grow into the work of what God was going to have him do, and it was necessary for his people as well. And can't you look back at some of your own life and say the same thing? If God had revealed to you all that you were going to have to suffer, maybe even with your spouse, would you have done it? That's why he gives it to us little by little. Why so slow? Because God's purpose is not to destroy the enemy, but to change him. It's not seek and destroy, but convert. Why doesn't God just get rid of his enemies? Or at least get rid of mine? Because God loves his enemies. And he loves yours too. The church's purpose is not to destroy, but to quietly and lovingly convert hearts. And you and I are called to be part of that mission. So move slowly. Pray. Trust in the Lord and his timing. Pray for the coming of the kingdom, even as it seems to work itself slowly to bring that kingdom. But do your part by humbly becoming holy, becoming a saint. Thy kingdom come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
For Pope Francis, our bishops and priests, that they may be holy shepherds after God's own heart, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
that those entrusted with dispensing justice and interpreting the law may look to Christ for guidance and as the source of wisdom, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That Christians may stand up for the countercultural values they have received from God, cultivating justice, which is the basis of peace, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the spiritual growth of our parish community, that we will commit ourselves to the truth of the gospel with zeal, self-sacrifice, and courage, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That our merciful Father in heaven may alleviate and eradicate COVID-19 and bring healing and peace to all affected by the pandemic, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our faithful departed, that God, who is merciful and gracious, may forgive their sins and lift them up to the joy of his heavenly kingdom, especially those who have no one to pray for them, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the special intentions of this holy mass, that God will pour out his blessings for all the people of this parish, we pray to the Lord.
O God, we ask you to receive our humble petitions. Grant them according to your holy will, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.